Welcome to the HIV Australia podcast, a discussion about the community-led response to HIV. Daniel Storer from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations recently sat down with Samantha Edmonds from the National LGBTI Health Alliance. They talked about the Aged Care Royal Commission. Samantha began by describing her work with the Silver Rainbow.
My role is the Silver Rainbow National Project Manager. That role is, runs, obviously, the Silver Rainbow Project, which is our ageing and aged care project. That has two really key roles in terms of looking at and supporting government and aged care providers to be inclusive. So we have a national coordination role, and we sit on lots of government bodies and advisory committees to provide advice around LGBTI inclusion when policies and legislation and other things are being developed. We also work with lots of other organisations and peak bodies and aged care providers around what they need to do to be inclusive. And then we also have a training arm which provides LGBTI inclusivity training to aged care workers, aged care assessment teams, and regional assessment services. So that's sort of skilling people up to understanding the lived experience of being LGBTI and how to then do practical things when you're back in your service to be inclusive.
Okay, cool. So with the Aged Care Royal Commission, obviously, has presented a great opportunity for the Alliance to present ways that aged care services and facilities can be more inclusive. Can you talk about a little bit about how stigma and discrimination impact LGBTI communities when they have interactions with aged care facilities and services?
Yeah, sure. So what tends to happen is there's two potential impacts. So one is people, well, we know that LGBTI older people avoid accessing aged care services. So they're accessing the service probably much later on than when they would have needed to access it. And that is often around actual discrimination experienced through friends or through, you know, networks they hear about. So that makes people afraid of accessing those services. And sometimes it's around the perceived that they could face discrimination. So they might not have actually had it, but there is that absolute genuine fear from a lifetime of experiencing discrimination that will happen again when they try to access aged care. The flip side of that is when people do go into aged care, there's always that, there's sort of two sides, but there's that potential of the discrimination that might face, one from staff, and that could be absolutely covert and obvious, or it could be more subtle. You know, we all know when people use language or how people, you know, speak to us, that can sort of give you an indication of, you know, their feelings towards you and how accepting or inclusive they are. But there's also the potential to have discrimination from the other residents, because particularly in residential aged care, we're asking LGBTI older people to live with the very people that discriminated against them. So quite sometimes what we're hearing is that the discrimination is not coming from the staff are really inclusive, but the other residents are actually discriminatory. In terms of aged care providers, whether it's home care or resi care, sometimes the discrimination is unintentional, you know, just not having the right options on a form, not understanding about language and using correct language, thinking they know what the issue, you know, how to work with people, and just, you know, not working in the best or the most inclusive way. And then obviously, again, there's that direct discrimination can happen where people might not get the same services, or people might not get the same supports, or, you know, people might raise a concern or an issue and it's disregarded and not addressed.
Right. So are you finding that services are willing to be more inclusive and to take on board ways to increase the inclusivity for LGBTI people? Like, is that increasing, or is there more work to be done there?
It's a really mixed bag. So we have some providers that have gone all the way and got Rainbow Tick accreditation, but there's only a few of those services scattered mostly across the sort of eastern, southern, so South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales. And then there's a few sort of age-related services in other states that have the rainbow tick. Some providers are doing what they can to be inclusive, so they've sort of started on that journey. They're looking at their forms, they're looking at their policies, they're looking at how they can be more inclusive. But there is a portion that are still going, well, we don't have those people here, why do we need to do anything? Haven't even thought about it to an extent.
Yeah.
So it really is mixed. So there's some, like I said, that are really being the shining lights leading the way, and there's others that we're going to have a lot more work to do with. And I certainly think the new quality standards will have a bit of a push for some of those providers, but there will still be that ongoing work.
Yeah. So just to go back there a little bit, can you just explain what Rainbow Tick accreditation is for the aged care services and facilities?
It's a accreditation process that was developed out of what was then GLHB, I think Rainbow Health, about six key areas that providers need to assess against. So, and QIP is the independent body that does the assessment to see that the service is LGBTI inclusive. So providers need to work through various documentation to demonstrate that they have, a series of things in place under these six key principles or six key actions.
Yep.
And then they have an independent accreditor come in and check and make sure that they actually do meet those things.
Right, cool. With the work that you've currently done, are there things that you can identify that are currently working within aged care facilities and services, or particular programs that are being integrated that tailor services for LGBTI people?
Yeah. Some of the Rainbow Ticked ones are doing some really great work. ECH in South Australia, in Adelaide, has a particular service that they offer that people, LGBTI older people, can ring their service and get support and information around accessing the services or accessing other services. There are some providers that are looking at some really, really great sort of engagement into activities, so like pride events, things like that. So, so building that within the facility, so getting everybody engaged in those services. There are others that, have started in terms of the policy kind of side, and we've had people approach us and, they're looking at how they start from that sort of level. What are the policies we need to put in place to start that journey of inclusion? So that's sort of in terms of providers. I mean, the government's got lots of things that they're starting to put in place now. So we have the actions to support LGBTI elders, and that also includes people living with HIV, and that's a document that's a resource for providers to be inclusive, and there's a companion guide to that for consumers. So it's a list, it's a whole bunch of information about what people can ask for or what they can expect when they go into aged care.
Speaking of the work that governments are doing, are there particular areas that where investment should be directed, particularly for LGBTI people when they're looking at aged care services and facilities?
Yeah, as saying, I think there's still that need to invest in training and education for the 5 years we've been doing it now. We've reached a certain level, but we know there's high staff turnover. We know that not everyone's been reached, so there's still a need to make sure that the people are being educated. An investment into also embedding that inclusive practice into more qualifications, so your Cert 3s and your Cert 4s and diplomas and associated workforce. There's absolutely a need to continue to fund services that support LGBTI elders and older people in helping them actually navigate this aged care system, how to get into it, where to go, how to make complaints, how who's the advocacy bodies who can support you, where are there systems and other schemes that can support you to live at home, and also sort of ongoing education and understanding about the changes that are happening within aged care and how they can be used to support that person's and also more funding into the community, the LGBTI specific community visitor schemes, which is working with isolated older people, and sometimes those people, more often those people are accessing residential aged care but home care, but don't have the connection to community, so that's encouraging that connection to community.
Right. So just a few areas for further investment there. Just to finish off, if you had one message for the Royal Commission into Aged Care that could be a take-home for them and for people listening, what would it be?
In all your recommendations, ensure that you've thought of the needs of LGBTI and older people and people living with older people living with HIV, and how those recommendations would impact on those people and how those recommendations would actually support inclusive practice.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much, Sam.
No worries. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Okay.